song, singing the same old cowboy song that's been sung 100 times before. Ain't got nothing but my name, and I'm the only man I know to blame. But I'm living, I'm happy, and I'm free.
Good morning, Arizona homeowners.
Just listen to the wind blow. Let blow, let blow.
And we're breaking one of the number one rules they teach you in talk radio.
Don't talk over the music.
No, don't. You got to get right into it. Go fast. It's Saturday morning. It's 7 o'clock. We got to ease into it a little bit here.
And 7 a.m. is more than the homeowner hour. It's the everything hour. Everything Rosie, Romy, or Jennifer are interested in hour.
We're coming up on our one-year anniversary of our 7 o'clock hour, the fourth hour of our broadcast. Next year will be our next week will be our 1 year mark, and it's actually going to be a really special broadcast from the state capitol. And we'll get to all that, but we actually have a special guest, and we need to cut right to him because the sun's coming up, and we're going to miss an opportunity here at a unique, it's planet, so it's not stargazing, a unique planet gazing scenario going on right now. I actually saw it driving in this morning. And I had no idea what I was looking at.
Well, if we're talking planets, it must be Dr. Sky on the phone.
And good morning, Romy and Jennifer. How are you?
Good morning. Up and at 'em.
Yeah, here we go. What a beautiful morning it is, isn't it?
It is. What is that in the eastern sky?
Well, here's the scoop on that. Just like yourselves driving in here, and a lot of people out there walking their dogs or just getting up. In the southeast, and it's still visible before sunrise, folks, you see that beautiful waning crescent moon. And then if you look just to the right of that, you can't miss the beautiful bright planet Venus. And then right at the very bottom of that, almost like a perfect little equilateral triangle, is the hardest planet that you'll ever get to see. And you don't have to do much work to see it. That's Mercury. So you're looking at the moon, Venus, and Mercury. And, you know, guys, this is a great month because we've been talking about this on my other programs, where you see now 5 major planets in the sky. So this is probably the peak weekend, really. If you missed it this morning, go out again tomorrow morning, and you'll see way over to the right side the planet Jupiter, then left of that Mars, Saturn, Venus, and now we come across all the way down to Mercury and the Moon.
And
how about that?
Somebody that doesn't stargaze or is familiar with it, how do I know if I'm looking at a planet or a star? How will I know when I see Jupiter, hey, that's a planet?
Yeah. That's the greatest question, Romy, because the easiest answer on this is stars to the eye appear to twinkle. Now, I don't want to take the romance out of that whole thing that I'm going to say here because Valentine's Day is not too far away. But on a more serious note, stars appear to twinkle because the air in the atmosphere makes the light of stars, because they're so far away, seem to make that vibration. But planets usually have a steady glow because they have, even though they're far away, they still have a diameter. So planets basically will continue to just look dull and, you know, no twinkling, as we say, but stars will do that. So how about that for this early Saturday morning?
Well, how about that? Can I ask you one thing, too? We were listening to your broadcast earlier, and you said look in the armpit of the sky. Isn't that what you said?
Well, in Orion, that's another big thing on our show here on TTR 3 a.m. on Saturdays, and thanks for mentioning it. If you take a look at high into the east after sunset, you'll see this magnificent constellation, which is Orion the Hunter. And right at that armpit, Jennifer, it's one of the most amazing stars. It's called Betelgeuse. It's a funny name. You know, Michael Keaton's not attached to this one. But that star is a supergiant star that probably will explode. And maybe, some are even saying, astronomers in our lifetime, that may be the first supernova location that people on Earth could ever see. And if it did blow, it would be brighter or as bright as a full moon for maybe 5 to 6 months. Imagine seeing that.
Wow.
In the night sky. Wow. But that's far away.
How far away?
About 640 light years. So if you do the math on that, that's incredible. So for 2016, minus, let's say about 650, let's say 650 light years. 1366 there, the light left. And imagine that, Romy, it just got here now, and that's traveling at the incredible speed of light, which is going 186,282 miles per second, or more in simplistic terms, about 11 million miles a minute. Imagine if we could travel that fast.
And so it could have already blown up. We just haven't seen it yet.
Probably it could. I mean, this is, and I got to be careful how I say this, because we don't like to do sensationalism. We like to do accuracy in science, and that's what everything should be. But the reality is it very well could have exploded. And the problem with the star, all stars like this, these orange supergiants, they get very unstable as they get older, because what they've done simply is they've used up all their material, and they've used up their regular power source, like the hydrogen and helium thing. And eventually, as they get heavier, as they get older and poor, they could have a gravity collapse just like a fraction of a second. And then all hell breaks loose, and that's when you get, in the most simplistic way here on Rosie on the House, a supernova.
Simple's good. Those numbers are bigger than I can handle.
Absolutely. But no, it's a beautiful area, Jennifer. That's what I was saying. Look in the armpit area. You'll see, and just below that, there's three belt stars. And if you take your binoculars and just look just a little bit below those three belt stars, there you go. You see this Orion Nebula, which is about 1,500 light years away. And that rocks, even in a pair of binoculars, folks. And you've probably seen it out there, folks, because so many people tell me that with our beautiful Arizona skies, they see it. But, hey, why not try it? You'll see this big, hazy area in a binocular. And that's, Jennifer and Romy, where stars are actually born. And we're witnessing, not seeing each one born in one viewing session, but this is the area where stars are born, among other places in this great universe.
That's sure a lot to think about. I need more coffee. Now, let me back up a little bit. How does one become a Dr. Sky?
Well, here's my quick story on this. Ever since I was little, I was brought up in the television and acting realm when I was very small. So my parents, God love them, they pushed me into the theater, into the arts. And what I recognized then, I had training. I mean, when I was about 7 years old, I was put into a place called the CBS Broadcast School. And you can imagine, guys, how difficult that is when you're a child in New York and you're taken out of school and you had a tutor. And, you know, my parents, we weren't a wealthy family. My parents are, you know, blue collar, and so are we, and we're proud to do the American dream here. But in school, I always recognized, and I think this is great for parents out there, taking, as my parents did, taking me to a place there, the Hayden Planetarium, where Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, as everybody knows him, the new, the heir of the Cosmos series, round two, after Carl Sagan did this. So my parents basically put me into this kind of cool Saturday afternoon programs where you'd get some education. And then, you know, moving on to school, I've always believed that the study of astronomy and science is something that I've always wanted to pursue. And I think today, what's so important, isn't that amazing, guys, what we see out there? There's so many opportunities now for children to get experience with science. And right here in the Valley, and I'll give them a big plug because they deserve it, the Challenger Learning Center, that's, of course, out there in the West Valley, and places like that have astronaut camps for children. So my parents pushed me along this path. And, you know, but my real emphasis has always been to try to do something a little different and not necessarily better. That's up to the people to decide. Is that taking subject matters that are intensely difficult to comprehend. In other words, if we walk into a Starbucks or a place and have coffee, the last thing most people are going to want to talk about is magnetothermal hydrodynamics or how stars are created, or how the sun produces energy. So what I'm trying to do, and I'm emphasizing this in a very humble way, trying to take that complex, make it more edutainment, meaning education with some entertainment. And again, that's up to the audience and all the people from our own shows and the public appearances that we do. So there's so much outreach. So I got started that way. I did television for CNN for many years, of all places, that hallowed ground of the World Trade Center back in the 1980s. That's where I really got my start for actual television, too. But less on me and more on the science, and I mean that sincerely, is that we're covering not only astronomy, space, aviation, and weather. And wow, isn't that a 1-2 punch for people out there listening that have children, that you know, and the parents know, that today it's so important to have that edge. And what kid doesn't love learning about the sky or space or aviation? So that's what I'm trying to do in a nutshell. And, you know, it's a corporation. It's a business. We provide training. We provide products. But I won't go further on your show because we want to keep it fun and not talk about it as a business. But it's a love. And that's why I'm so grateful for you guys to have me on your program talking about all the wonderful things that you talk about for the longest time that, you know, you and Rosie and Jennifer have put this show together. Hey, I hope Rosie's okay there.
He's just fighting a little bug. He's sleeping in this morning. He should be in about another hour or two. But
Rosie, if you're listening, have a good morning.
Hopefully he's sleeping.
He tried, but he couldn't do it.
Yeah, there you go, guys. So anyway, in a nutshell, the whole understanding of science and technology. And, you know, there are people that do it better, and there are people that don't do it at all. But, hey, I'm trying to keep my head above water, and I think there's a lot of people out there like yourselves that at least enjoy the subject matter. And that's our goal, to continue to educate about these wonderful realms.
And on your education and entertainment of the sky, there's a unique opportunity coming up later this month at Dolly Steamboat, which
DollySteamboat.com.
A steamboat on, is it Canyon Lake?
It
or
is.
It's Canyon. Okay.
Oh, yes.
So
what's
happening?
Well, I just had my 60th birthday. And just to tell you, first of all, I want to thank all those that are listening, I'm sure, now that came up. We had about 110 guests for my birthday. But we're doing one, I understand. Rosie's been kind enough to ask me. And I know it looks really good, Jennifer and Romy, that you guys have a heck of a lot of people, I'm sure, that are going to be there. It's Saturday evening, February the 27th. And I believe we sail dockside at 5 p.m. And I understand, with your organization and all your network of friends here and around the state, I imagine that'll be a wow, an amazing night. But Rosie's asked me kindly to do the Dr. Sky part.
We can't wait.
That?
And we do have some openings still. So if you're still interested, you haven't missed the boat.
Absolutely. There's still plenty of time to go there. And then obviously they go to DollySteamboat.com. Or if they call 480-827-9144. That's 480-827-9144. Well, just to tell you both what the experience was on Saturday, against the naysayers that said, no, it's too cold to be out there on a lake in January and February. Look at the weather next week. Did you see the forecast? We're going to be like in the mid-80s. Wow. So by the time your cruise is happening on the 27th of February, that should be good. So I'll just do my little laser show at the end, and they give me the microphone for a few minutes. And, well, if you ever want to see the sky as dark as it can be, I think that's a heck of a place, and I think people agree.
That's DollySteamboat.com to register, $65 per person, and you sail at 5, you get dinner?
Yes, you do.
And then you'll get a Dr. Sky presentation of the sky.
Can't wait.